Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rutolo. I'm also known as Miss ADD. I want to welcome everyone to today's program. Our guest today is Tom Nardone. I'm sure everybody that's listening is familiar with Tom and his wife, Yvonne, and we're going to talk about Tom's new podcast and his book. But before we bring Tom on the line, I just wanted to mention to everyone who lives in the Southern California area about my two adult support groups that I run for CHAAD, children and adults with ADD. The first group is Wednesday nights from 7:30 to 9. It's in Torrance, California, located at 2785 Pacific Coast Highway, and it's at the Center for Learning Unlimited. This is actually a school for children and adolescents with ADHD and on the autistic spectrum. It's a wonderful group. It's been going on now for 5.5 years. Have a lot of growth, a lot of love, just a lot of fun and acceptance in that room. So for those of you who are close to that area, please come on over on Wednesday nights. And then for those of you who live on the west side, I have a group on Thursday nights in Culver City, and that's at the Share building. It's a 12-step program building, and the address is 6666 Green Valley Circle. And that group was new in June, and we seem to be growing. We're also going to be adding a lot of structure to that group as I begin to use my workbook that's coming out in the spring in that group to get feedback on it. And that group is Thursdays from 6 to 7:30. So for those of you, again, who live in the area, please come on over. It's a $5 donation. And other than that, we just want you to come over and have some growth and some fun and some acceptance. And now, without further ado, I'll bring Tom on the line. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Justine. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Really great.
Good. And so I wanted you to tell everybody about your podcast, and then we were going to talk about your new book. When is that coming out?
Actually, it's probably, I know they just got a ISBN number, and I guess every book has to have one. I believe
yeah.
That's the only thing they were really waiting for. So
okay.
I think it's going to be, as the last I heard, it's going to be going to the presses, probably this coming week.
Wow.
And I would like to think it's going to be out next week.
Awesome. That's so exciting.
Yeah, well,
you have to get me a copy, Tom.
Yeah, I will. I promise. I told you I would. And if you still wanted to do the show the day, when it comes out, then that's,
that's
no problem. No. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be it's going to be a lot of good information and a lot of fun, as you always are. So
Well, thank you. And yeah, it will be. It's, I everything I do, I try to find some entertaining angle for it. And I think I did a good job doing that with the book. It's going to be called Chasing Kites.
Wow.
Which is taken from a story. My wife actually she came up with that title. I let her. She was going on a trip to Ohio, and the books that she ordered didn't come in. So I broke down, and I just printed her off a copy of my book. And so she read that the whole way down there, and that's the name that she had come up with. And I said, well, yeah, that's a pretty good name. I didn't really have a name anyway.
How did she come up with that name?
It's from a story, one of the stories in the beginning of the book, something that happened when I was, it was actually the first real, documented case, I guess, that I can remember, that would have been a good example of childhood ADHD,
okay.
Which is just, to make it short, it's just, out there, I was out playing baseball, and, I was out in left field, literally and figuratively speaking. So I wasn't really paying attention to the game. And the events that happen and why they happen, it ties into that.
That's great.
And that's kind of a metaphor for, a lot of the things that happened afterwards.
I like the name. It's
yeah,
really cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
She did a good job.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I think I'm more glad that it's over. You know, I mean, it's just I don't have to
I know.
It's just always on my mind, you know, and it's like a tenant who has overstayed their welcome, and it's been time for them to leave forever, and finally, you know, they got the moving truck, and they're hauling their ass off my property, and I don't have to, you know, now they're going to have their own place, and we can just sort of be friends now. That's kind of the way
that's a great analogy. I love it.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Speaks to that creative mindset, Tom. I love it.
Yeah.
So besides the book, I know you just started a podcast, and I had a chance to listen to your latest podcast, which I thought was very well done. Your sound is amazing on your podcast.
Yeah,
we're
still working on that. We got all these. I'm just looking at them. I mean, we got all these. These two real big microphones that hang over our desk, and you know, we've got our mixer, and I just bought this new thing. The sound quality we are still working on. And some of the shows sound amazing, and some of them are just like, you know, what the hell was I thinking? But one fun thing has been the bumpers and stuff that people have done. And we've got another show that's I think I've got it set to auto post at 12:30. Tonight, midnight, I guess 9:30 your time, and I actually did the voice myself, but I put it through all these effects, and so I lowered the sound, you know, the tone on it, and put a reverb in it. It sounds like, you know, like Zeus, so he kind of does the bumper. So I have Zeus introducing me, you know. So it was kind of fun, but you know,
I love it.
And I love, you know, and I have to thank you so much because, you know, I your podcast here is the first one I was ever on. So I'm always, always proud to come back and do this anytime
I'm
asked. So appreciate you, giving me this opportunity so many times, Justine.
Well, it's great because I have to tell you, your shows that we've done together, we've gotten the most numbers of people listening, and I can tell that people really enjoy when you're on because I think everybody agrees that humor is such a healthy thing. It's so good for your health. It's so good for your mind. And that's one of the things that I like to bring to my clients as well is let's just laugh a little bit about this ADD thing. Let's just not get out the knives that we're going to kill ourselves with because it's not that kind of thing. So you bring that, and it allows people to laugh about it, which I think is such a positive thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of like a doctor.
Thing. Yeah.
I'm kind of like a doctor then.
Yeah,
like a
absolutely.
Like
a virgin.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
But
you're the happy doctor.
I tell you, I really got angry about this whole podcast thing in the beginning. I mean, I was like fuming mad. The way it happened, it was actually before Christmas. Yvonne had ordered, she was going to get me, she was just dead set on, you know, getting me something really special for Christmas. So
yeah,
I'm like, yeah, whatever. And I don't really need anything. But anyway, so I'm just like, whatever. So I'm sitting in my car on my break, and I get this email from Amazon.com because, you know, they always send you an alert after you place an order. So here I get an email, you know, addressed to me because she did it on our account explaining that these items had shipped. And I'm like, well, what the hell, you know? And I'm like, oh, my God, this is just awful, you know. It was like a microphone, a mixer, what was the other, some other thing that, I don't remember, some other, it was all this kind of audio type stuff, and I'm just like, oh, no, you know, she thinks that I want to be a podcaster, you know, like, I don't have enough going on right now, you know, between my blog and everything. I'm just
and
like,
the book.
Oh man, it can't be. Yeah, in the book. Yeah, just everything. And it's like, this can't be. So I just sort of ignored it. And then I thought, well, maybe I was kind of hopeful that, hey, maybe our account just got hacked, you know. Maybe somebody else ordered this stuff, you know. I was hoping that, you know. So I had to call the house, and I was real careful, though, because I said, hey, Yvonne, did you just order some stuff from Amazon.com? She goes, damn it, you got an email. I said, relax. I said, I didn't open the email. I just saw that I got one, and I didn't open it because I didn't know if it was you getting me some Christmas.
Oh, you're nice.
She goes, yeah, I'm really nice. I know just the right times to lie. And she says, well, Tom, yeah, I did do that. Please don't read the email. I said, I won't.
No.
And of course, I already had, but I didn't tell her. You know, she said, don't, and I didn't. I already read
Good
it.
Good for you.
After she said, don't read it, I didn't read it again.
You didn't read it again.
I knew what it was, so I didn't need to read it.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I played it really cool, and like one of the boxes, oh, I know it was a boom for the microphone. That was the other thing. So
okay.
This long box comes in, and I'm saying, oh, well, there's the boom, you know, in my head. And she goes, and she looks at me like she's all excited, and I'm like, oh, God, my little piranha fish, thank you. You know, and she goes and puts it in the bedroom, and then the next day, this other box comes in, and she takes it in the bedroom and verifies. So everything's there. She goes, oh, God, Tom, I can't wait. And I'm like, oh, crap. So I am so not in the mood to put on a show for her and act like I'm not pissed off about all this stuff that she got me for Christmas. So she brings it in, and I just acted so happy. And then I find out I'm not going to do the podcast. We're going to do the podcast. So not only has, you know, the spotlight that I have enjoyed, you know, lying under for years, had more width to it. Now I had to share it, you know, somehow. And I'm like, what? I really almost just lost my cool, but I didn't. I said, hey, that's great, you know, and I'm like, got one of the owner's manuals for the magazine, like to the microphone, as if I need to learn anything about this microphone. And I'm just acting, sitting there like I'm reading it, you know. And her thinking I'm deep in thought reading that book, she would not interrupt me because that would be like interfering with my gift. I just needed to stare into that book so that she wouldn't talk because I was actually that angry, okay?
Wow, okay.
Well, and the thing is, I didn't, but I always... You know, things don't all, you know, it's like things change, and I had just really been, you know, backhanded with this whole situation. So I just wanted to, you know, wait for the recoil to settle down and then sort of just think about it. And
yeah.
But anyway, I went ahead and, you know, unpackaged everything as I do, and I went through the motions and hooked it up. And anyway, we started, Yvonne and I have in the past not ever been able to collaborate on anything because mostly music. Okay. We're both musicians and, you know, she plays, she just listens to shit, but I play 80s metal and I like 80s metal. Okay. And
okay.
She watches, and she was one of those people who I don't understand that watch the American Idol show. That doesn't even make any sense to me why that's a TV show. But anyway, so, and every time we start to play anything, she starts this blues shit, and I'm just looking at her like, what the hell? I mean, it's like we've never met, Yvonne. You know, I mean, what are we doing? What is this shit? Well, why don't we just play? I said, no, you don't understand. Music, you can call it whatever you want to, but in the end, what it must be before it's anything else is a mathematical system of timing and notes and things must line up and be perfect, otherwise it's uncomfortable to listen to, and that shit is not music. I mean, you can't just try to play the blues, and when it sounds like shit, call it jazz, you know. You can't do that. You know, that's what jazz is. Jazz is what you call something that just sounds like shit. Oh, well, hell, it's jazz. Oh, well, then it's okay. I mean, that's my opinion. And look, I know I like Louis Armstrong. I mean, there's a lot of great jazz musicians, but these beatniks with the turtlenecks sitting in these coffee shops listening to the jazz, I don't know who these people are. They're not human.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
but
I agree.
Anyway.
I agree.
So anyway, I got to thinking about it, and, you know, I kind of, at work, I'm thinking about this podcast. It's the only thing I can think about because at some point, you know, I'm going to have to do something. And but, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And, You know, the
it made perfect sense to me.
To thinking, you know, Yvonne and I have some of the funniest conversations anyway, all the time. And I just figured, you know, hell, that could be the podcast. I mean, that how easy would that be? And, you know, and of course I thought it would be fitting for the, even though it's not the first podcast on the on iTunes or whatever, it is, we released two pilot shows, and of course the first one was the one about the pants theory that, that I was actually my first blog post, and I thought that would be kind of cool to do that, that be the first podcast since this, it was the first blog post. And then on, the second one was, oh shit, I don't remember what it was called, whatever it was. And Eric Tivers, do you know him? I think you met him or had him on the show. Or okay.
I did.
Yeah, he actually had, he and I are really tight, and he had sent me a bumper for the show, and I didn't even know what a bumper was, but it, you know, says, hey, this is Eric Tivers with, you know, ADHD Rewired, and you're listening to the Tom Nardone Show. And then he says something and starts laughing, and I'm like, man, that's kind of a badass way to start the show. So, you know, I reached out to some other people in the community, and I got Terry Matlin did one for me. Linda Walker of the ADDA did one. Alan Brown was kind enough. Of course, his was really awesome. You know, his favorite line in his videos that, that I really like, and he knows this, is when he talks about kicking your own ass.
Right.
So, you know, that that he said that in the bumper for mine, which I thought was really cool. So, and you were, you sent one, which is, haven't had, had a chance to put that in the show yet. So, you know, that's been a lot of fun. And you, Vaughn, you know, she thinks I'm insane getting all excited about the intros, but
I
just think
that's
a fun
great
part of the show. I love the intros.
Yeah. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
It really was. I think it's great.
It's been fantastic. I mean, we've had a I mean, and, you know, we, and, oh, now, at first, you know, it's like we'd do the show, and, like, right in the middle of the show, I'd just hit the pause button and say, you know, this is shit. We're doing something wrong, you know. And Yvonne's like, what the hell? You know, what, I mean, what's wrong? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. You know, and we had to start over. Like, that that pants show, we did it three times. I mean, in the same day.
Oh,
we were spent. We were completely spent for the day after that show because we did it three times in a row. I didn't want to do another thing the whole day, you know. So that was so annoying. But then, like, we're right getting started with this, and you'll hear it, but we're getting started with this one show. And I noticed that Yvonne's got this thing about bugs, right? She hates bugs, any kind of bugs. Well, we're in the doing the thing, and, I mean, we're actually about a minute into the show, and I noticed there's a stink bug. I don't know if you guys have those in California, but there's a stink bug on my monitor. They're these awful bugs, and they'll buzz right across your head and scare the crap out of you. But the thing is, if you kill them, they stink. It's like a final FU from the bug, I guess. I can't stand those things. But anyway, so we're doing the show, and I notice in the upper right-hand corner of my monitor is a stink bug. So right in the middle of the show, I just said, there is a stink bug on my monitor. And Yvonne's like, oh, God. You know, and anyway, so I said, hand me that cup, you know, and she goes, what cup? I said, no, hand me that Iron Maiden cup. She goes, what? I said, the cup that says Iron Maiden, you know, I mean, this is like the show. I mean, this is what's happening. Mean, we just left it recording. And then I got up, and I'm trying to beat the hell out of this thing, but it flew away when Yvonne didn't hand me the cup fast enough, so she's freaking out, and I'm freaking out, and I end up killing this thing with my show notes, so now I have to smell this ass, this bug the whole time while the rest of the show's going. And anyway, and I was about to just say, all right, well, where were we, and then go back. But then I got to thinking, no, you know what? That was kind of awesome. I can,
it is.
You know, I think that would be funny. So I left it, you know. So that's, and one, I mean, we're in the middle of a show in my iPod, you know. I got a, some person retweeted something I did. You know the noise it makes. And you could hear it on the microphone. Well, Yvonne figures, well, that's kind of getting in the way of the show. So she tosses my iPod across the room. Now, granted, she tried to make it land on the couch, but it didn't. So she tosses it across the room, and it's like bang, ba, ba, bang. And I'm like, what the hell was that? I mean, just we break out of character all the time on the show. Anytime, you know, so, or if Yvonne interrupts me, I might just stop, and we'll talk about why she has to interrupt me. I mean, it's just we just kind of do whatever
it's
we
great
do. Yeah, and it's been, it's, you know, it's been a, I mean, we don't really even think about all this. That all that just kind of happened, and we just sort of said, yeah, that's kind of cool, you know.
I really like it. It's very relaxed and it's fun, and you're adding everything into the show, which is awesome. It's your life. I mean,
yeah,
it's ADD life, right?
Yeah.
Kind of throwing the iPad across the room. And I mean, I think it's part of two people, just like Steve and I have ADHD together, and it's fun. I mean, people need to see that. I think it's great.
Absolutely. I mean, it's you know, and the thing is, you know, when I used to, and, you know, and as far as, I mean, I've had people ask, you know, Tom, so are you done writing? And, you know, I don't really know. I mean, it may be, but I don't like to really admit that. But, you know, I've been writing for a while, and I've been, you know, very happy with, you know, a lot of people do read me, and they have enjoyed doing that. And I'm not saying I'm going to ever quit writing. You know, I mean, I do have the book coming out, which, of course, has been done for a year.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know if there's another book in me or not. Maybe someday, I don't know. But
well,
it just seems to me that, yeah.
Is the book that's coming out, is that basically your life from years ago, or does it include now? Because I'm just wondering.
Oh, yeah, it goes from my, I mean, well, I mean, it goes from my earliest childhood memory up to a year ago. So, you know, of course, the podcast isn't on there, which I would have liked for it to have been. Now, it's possible. I hope. And, you know, I'm not even going to, I mean, I think up until, I don't remember, whenever the last update I put in it was. And, you know, it's just, it's been handled kind of strange. And, you know, I don't really want to get into all that. It's just, you know, it is my book, and I did write the whole thing. It's nothing, you know, it'll be a good book. I mean, I think everybody who has read it has, you know, and not everybody, you know, were people that I knew, you know, really well.
Right.
There was,
right.
Everybody has loved it. Everybody has.
Right.
And I couldn't be more happy with, you know, to hear that. And I really, the people who read it that I do know, I begged them to please tell me what it's missing, because I can't fix it. I mean, if there was anything they didn't like about it, I really feel like at least half of them would have told me. And so, I mean, I really think it's going to be a fun book to read. There's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I mean, there's a lot of sad stuff in it, but you know, it's just like my blog, you know, it starts out, you know, kind of, you know, maybe with some bad stuff, but then in the end, it just completely turns around, and there's it's always a kick-ass ending. And this book is no, it's got a great ending. You know, I mean, me, the person I am today, that's how it ends, and it's a beautiful ending.
Which I think is awesome, because you know what? There's a lot of parents out there, and I know you see them too on, excuse me, the different groups' Facebook pages, and
mm-hmm.
they're so overwhelmed and feeling so distraught, and they feel like there's no hope. And so I think that a book like yours too, I'm just talking about this population in particular, where a parent can get a hold of a book like that and see the humor in some of the things that go on in their own children's lives that can lead them to a successful life. So
right.
I think that's one of the populations that are really going to benefit from this book, along with all the other populations. The adult population, adolescent population may read your book as well, and, you know, may find some really enjoyable things that are going to help them. It's for everybody, but I do at times, really, being a parent, having two kids myself with ADHD, even though they're older now, when they were little, when you first get that diagnosis, can be heartbreaking, because you're really in that place of, oh my God, my kid is so different, and, you know, little did I know I had it too. You know, what am I going to do?
A big
I think
part
they need
of the
that
book.
Help.
It's a big part of the book, the getting diagnosed part. It's you know, and listen, a lot of the things that are in the book are things that people have read about. I mean, but I wouldn't say most of them. There's plenty of things that, you know, that I've held back. And I mean, not, and I mean, there's, I mean, I don't think there's anybody that's listened to every show I've been on, every show I've done, read every blog on both, on every page
right.
I've ever written a story on. So, you know, I mean, most, maybe half the stories are probably out there in a, told in a much shorter format, but this is just a really detailed account of, you know, of things. And one thing that I was really, really mindful of is to really take time, you know, going into the way that I did finally go and get diagnosed and, you know, and walking very slowly through the, you know, the part where I did first take my medication, you know, and you know, the, see, there's a stink bug right there. Anyway, and going through all of that stuff, you know, and, you know, I was really careful to do that. And, you know, the people who were, you know, helping me with the book, doing the editing and stuff were, you know, they were helpful in, you know, making suggestions or just identifying places where, you know, where I wasn't really clear about something, you know, because I wrote the book in 6 days, and, you know, I just really pretty much just ripped through it, you know, and there was, you know, I'd be explaining something, but I didn't really, because, I mean, I thought about it, but probably just before I went on my little break, and then when I came back, you know, I didn't realize, hey, you haven't written that part yet. So they're like, what is all this explanation about? And I'm like, oh, crap.
Right.
So, I'm very thankful for the people at Redmond Publishing for you know, for helping me out with that. And, you know, it's taken a long time, but, you know, I'm really just so relieved that it's just about over, you know.
So did you actually get a publisher to publish this for you?
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a paperback, you know, book that, you know, it'll ship and it'll weigh something, and you know, I can sign it if somebody wanted me to sign it. You know, it's a real book, and it's going to be an e-book. And as far as it being available on Amazon.com, they told me that, you know, that was up to me. I think they preferred that it not be at first because Amazon's
okay.
commissions are so high. But eventually it will be, but it'll be available. I mean, they'll have the same shipping. I mean, they'll just order it. I mean, obviously there'll be a link on my site, but they'll, you know, and it'll just get sent right from Redmond Publishing to them. So, you know, and I think it's, I don't know. I don't want to talk about how much it's going to be. I did tell them under no circumstances that I want it to be, you know, more than $9.99. So I'm thinking that's probably what it'll end up being.
Okay.
You know, because my plan, the way this all happened anyway, was, you know, I was on vacation and Yvonne was going to be working all week and, you know, Brett was in school and, you know, I was, you know, I didn't have a bunch of things to write about I don't like to publish blog posts too close together. And I think I had already published a post on each one of my sites. So I don't like to publish, you know, that close together. I like to spread it out.
Yeah.
So I didn't really know what I was going to do, and I didn't have any video games that I just bought to play. So I said, you know, geez, I wonder what would happen if I just, just started to, you know, write my memoirs. And I don't remember if I really was conscious about writing a book at first. And I think quickly into it, I kind of thought maybe this will be a book or whatever. But I just started writing, and, you know, I figured it'd be like most things. I'd just give up halfway through it, and then just be a bunch of blog posts I would have already written up in case I hit a wall. So, I mean, it was win-win for me. But, you know, the more I wrote, the more I got obsessed with it, because, you know, the beginning of the book is the hard part, you know, and it wasn't easy to write. I mean, it was, you know, my blog posts are generally positive, and this book was, you know, there's parts in it that, well, I mean, frankly, they're just not. I mean, it's the truth about, you know, what happened, but they're necessary to understand for the other parts to make any sense. So,
right.
You know, having to get through all that stuff, you know, and I had what I called rest periods, which means, like there was a circumstance in the fourth grade where, you know, I couldn't catch a break and then I couldn't catch a break and I couldn't catch a break, but oh man, now I get to screw everybody in the whole class over who's been picking on me all year. I get to just shut everybody down and you know, they may not remember a single thing about the fourth grade, but they'll never forget the name Tom Nardone because I'll see to it. And I did see to it. And I'm telling you what, I am so proud of that story. I couldn't even see straight, and I'm still proud of it. But there are people that will hate it. There are people out there who will side with all those little poor little fourth graders, and this little asshole had to just destroy their fun. But you know what? I don't really give a damn. You know, that's just what happened. I will say one thing about the book, and this isn't really important. And this was actually in the first round of beta readers. Not all of them. They all loved it. Okay, but there was one girl. It was one person who, and I don't have any idea who they are. That was part of the beta reader thing, is that you don't know the person reading it, and they can't.
Oh,
really,
okay.
They have to pick somebody who has never read you before. That way,
okay,
they're getting a pretty clear picture of what just any rank and file person might think about the book, and they'll have a little questionnaire, and then they write down, you know, they answer the questions. And one of the things, and then they overall, what was your, how did you feel about the book, and how did you feel about the author or whatever? Well, one person was just all just everything was beautiful. Okay, now there was another couple of people that thought I was, one of them felt like I was tooting my horn too much, and I said, okay, well, that's just the way it is. Next, you know. But now the other person thought that I was, that they were getting the impression, so are ADHD people just assholes, you know? And I'm got to think, you know, not an easy question to answer, but I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But I said, well, let me see why they might feel that way. I guess in their head, it seemed to be like I was, like the purpose, they didn't realize the purpose of the book. You know, the purpose of the book, it's not a how-to manual. This is not a how-to manual. This isn't a how to deal with your problems manual.
Right.
This is like, you know, the diaries of an ADHD kid or something. And,
right.
And, or a man.
Which I think is great.
Yeah. And so in the beginning, I'm pretty clear, you know, and I spell it out as clear as I can that, you know, this is not an instruction manual. This is, you know, I'm not saying that everything that I did was right. You know, there's things I did that I, you know, not necessarily saying I wish I could take them back, but I believe there are better ways to there are definitely better ways to handle than what I did, you know. And I'll tell you, I want to say, you know, a thank you, which I've already thanked her for it. But Terry Matlin, actually, I reached out to her because she had just published her book. And so I just wanted to ask her a book question. And it was a chapter in there that I think will end up being chapter 13. And, of course, it's going to be the Brody Bricker chapter. And anybody that reads my blog knows who Brody Bricker is. He's this this troublemaker. This unbelievable troublemaking kid who I ended up being my best friend because, well, for lack of options. I mean, I did like the guy. He was a great friend of mine, but you know, that's about the best friend I had. And I'm telling you, this guy lived to see other people's pain. I mean, he loved to vandalism and all kinds of just. You wouldn't believe the things this 11-year-old kid would do to just, I mean, it was terrible, but some of the stories are just funny.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
and,
I get it.
So anyway,
and Terry,
I talked to Terry and I asked her, I said, you know, I was asking her about, you know, is this chapter, does it fit? I mean, I gave her, you know, we were talking on the phone and I just kind of told her one story. And she started laughing, and she says, well, you know, Tom, you know, are those the type of stories that the Brody Bricker chapter is? And I said, well, yeah. And she says, well, we just need to figure out a way to get that in the book. So if there's no line from that to ADHD, you know, we need to find one. You know, it's not about is there one. I mean, not saying, you know, to say something that's wrong. I mean, if it was completely not, I mean, that's what she would say, but you know, she was trying to help me see that, you know, but it actually was, and that's what she, you know, explained to me. So, and I don't even remember, I mean, it's in the book, obviously, but,
It sounds like it's oppositional defiant.
Yeah, no, but you know, like the why was this guy my friend kind of a thing. You know, what is it, I mean, what is it about, why was I so absolutely just awestruck But what it was, I believe, was the amount of fear that I lived with every day, and this guy exhibited none.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
what it was. And
yeah.
she did help me see that. And so I'm yeah. very thankful to her. You know, she's and even I don't remember what Gina Pera and I talked about, but she was really helpful to me in a couple of areas. And you know, Gina's a really great lady. I'm mistaken. She's not on your. I think I might have heard her on Jeff Copper. Yeah, I think she's on Jeff's show. But anyway, that's how I met her. But it's yeah, and the book's been great. I mean, it's been fun. But I'm, you know, and I can't even believe I'm in such a good mood tonight to speak about it, because honestly, I haven't spoken about the book in months, because well, to anybody, this is the first time I've. You know, I mean, any updates or anything? I just, okay, great, whatever. You know, I mean, just, you know, let me know when we're a couple weeks out. You know, it's kind of how I, you know, when
yeah.
I mean, maybe I'll talk about them. And it's just convenient that, you know, I got the call when I did, because I actually had heard, hey, we got the number, so we're just waiting to go to the press. So that's, you know, should be it, and it should be out.
Well, when the
you know,
reality hits, it's very exciting that it's coming.
Yeah, and I'm sure it will be, and I'm sure all the issues that I've had are going to be, you know, all nullified at that point. And listen, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm really getting excited about the book again. I didn't think I would. I was so irritated about the whole process that you know, I just figured, you know, I mean, this is so crappy, because, you know, now I don't even, I mean, it's like I hate that book, and now it's going to come out and I got to act excited about it. But it hasn't happened that way. You know, I'm remembering.
How many pages is the book?
I don't have a clue. I know it's like 82,000 words, which
okay.
I don't know. It seems, I think it's more than 150.
Okay.
Or
okay.
I think it's actually close to 200. I just can't remember. So I mean,
okay.
it's a
great,
you know, decent sized book. It'd probably take
yeah.
me about a month to read a book that big, but I mean, I'm sure
probably
there's people
too,
out there
yeah.
that can read it in a day or two.
I'm sure people are going to read it very quickly, because it's going to hold their attention. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, that would be, you know, a big deal for me if people did buy the book and liked it. You know, and it's not, and like I was telling you, you know, it's not the money. The way the way the book was going, you know, when I was on my vacation, I wrote the book, and now I've got it finished, and I'm like, well, now what? I mean, it's done. You know, I was kind of angry when it was done, because I really did enjoy writing it, especially the end of it. And it was only 51,000 words at that point. And,
right.
And I'm done, you know, for the most part. And I just didn't know what to do with it. So I have a friend of mine his name is Tom Nardone. Of course, that's how I met him, because his name. And he's
serious?
Actually published.
His name is Tom? Really?
Yeah, he's a great guy. I'm trying to get him on my show.
Oh, you're
you
kidding.
Know, the Tom Nardone show. Come on. How cool is that? No, but he's been on Conan O'Brien, and he's been on Regis and Kathy, I think, or the Good Morning Show. I mean, he carves pumpkins. He's really, you'd be amazed at how much traffic my blog gets in October, because, you know, he's a pumpkin carver guy. So people are doing all these searches for Tom Nardone, and we kind of go back and forth from being first on the Google search, so a lot of times I catch his traffic, you know.
Oh, that is so funny.
Yeah, it is, and we kind of, you know, and it's, we, you know, and I'll get an email asking me to do something, and I know it's for Tom, so I'll just, you know, forward it to him and say, hey, man, I think this is for you, you know, or whatever. So, I mean, him and I are pretty good friends, and he just had a birthday, as a matter of fact. But anyway, I you know, I talked to him. I said, look, man, I said, you know, I got this book. I wrote it. I said, I'm not asking you to do me any favors or call anybody or anything like that, but I just don't know what to do with it. What do I do with this book that I got finished with? He goes, I don't know what to tell you, Tom. He goes, I'm a 3-time New York Times bestseller. He says, been on this show, that show. He goes, and I still have to publish my shit to Kindle. So I'm like, well, man, I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's really all I wanted to do anyway. I just, you know, didn't know what to do, so now at least I can at least justify it and say, well, if, you know, if he couldn't do it, how the hell am I going to get it done? So I just needed an excuse to not make an effort, really, and that's what he provided me with, not knowing that. I just needed to be able to justify why I didn't even give it a shot. So now I could tell this great story that, you know, what Tom told me, and now I don't have to explain why I didn't even try, you know. So I'm at work one day. So, and then I think I got, like, put off by it, and I just said, oh, hell with it. I don't even want to fool with it. And then I kind of got back on it, and my friend Val, who reads me, you know, I mentioned to her, yeah, I'm back. I guess I'm going to see about getting the book out. And she goes, well, Tom, what book? And I had not discussed it with her before. I thought I had. And I said, oh, yeah, I wrote this book. I said, I'm just going to put it up on Kindle for nothing. I'm just going to publish it for free to Kindle. And she goes, well, you know, you do know I own part of a publishing company. And I said, well, no, I did not know that. And she goes, well, why don't you send it to me and let me read it? So I did, and man, the next day she says, Tom, please, please let us do something with this book. And I said, yeah, okay. I said, how much money do you need? Because I have zero. So if zero works for you, then we got a deal. And she says, well, zero works for us. That's how we do it. So, you know, that's one cool thing about, you know, Redmond. I know it took a long time, and I'm really not complaining because they are fantastic people.
Yeah.
They didn't ask me for a dime.
They
have not yet asked me for it. Yeah, and it's a very, very decent commission that I'm on. I mean, higher than I've ever heard of a book author getting for, you know, his own work. And that's one of the things that they are really big on, is that, you know, the author's getting most of the royalties for the books that get sold. I mean, you know, well over half of
that's cool.
You know, what
that's
comes
really
from
cool.
It. And again,
that's great.
It is, but still, it wasn't about the money for me. And, you know, there were times I was so angry, I just wanted to say, you know what, just forget it, and I was just going to stick it on there for free, just because I was just tired of thinking about it. But, you know, I'm glad I waited it out, and I'm glad it's over. So.
Oh, this is great. Are they going to have you do any kind of signings, book signings? Are you going to go?
I mean,
to
if I'm
store?
Asked to do one, I guess I will. But, you know, I mean, I just don't. You know, it's my book is, and I mean, I think anybody who read it would appreciate it, but that doesn't mean anybody that you know, that sees it is going to necessarily want to read it. You know, I mean, the ADHD community, I'm sure that's going to be just about, you know, well into the majority of the people who actually do read it. But
right.
It's for those people that I wrote it, so I'm okay about that. I would love to see a big, you know, non-ADHD crowd read it and, you know, like it or not. I'd prefer them to like it, but, you know, that'd be fine. But, you know, it's not – I kind of got to thinking, well, gosh, you know, what if people don't like it? You know, I don't really care if people don't like it, because it's not
right.
– it's not. I didn't write it for them to like. I wrote it because it's true. You know, this is just
right.
What happened. I mean, if you don't find the things I did in my life interesting, well, okay. I mean, it's – I don't – have a need for that. You know, it's not like I wrote something to try to entertain people. I just wrote about my life in hopes that it is entertaining to people. I know it is to many, because I've, you know, tried these stories out by talking to people about them here or there. So I know that they are funny, but I can't expect everyone to like them. I mean, everybody will have critics and have, you know, negative stuff to say, but I don't think it's going to bother me. I really just don't.
But that's just life, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
is.
What happens in life. But let me just tell you this. The thing that I notice sells to people more than anything else is when somebody with ADHD who is doing what you're doing starts to really talk about themselves and tell their own story. People love to hear stories about, you know, success, non-success, whatever. They just really enjoy, especially in our population, they enjoy hearing the stories. So that's what you did, which I think is really great. And I certainly will tell all my clients and my groups about your book and bring it with me and tell them where they can order it. And I think it's going to do very well. I really do. You have a tremendous following, first of all, on Facebook and Google and Twitter and all. You're on Twitter, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Twitter's actually picking up.
It's going to pick up a lot when the book
is
out.
Well, I met you on
Twitter.
Twitter. And,
Twitter,
you know, a lot of – it's funny because, I mean, I think my biggest – you know, maybe 70% of the people who read me, you know, can probably come from Facebook. It's well,
yeah.
It was that way. Now it's about probably 40. Google has. I've been getting a lot of Google traffic, but
yeah.
But I've met very few. I mean, some of the biggest contacts I've met have been through Twitter, and I think I met Jeff Copper through Google Plus. Of course, I met Alan Brown. He just happened to find me. I don't know how, but I really kind of met him on your show here. That was the first time I ever talked to you, was calling in on the show that he was on.
That's right. I remember that, yeah, which was great.
Now, matter of fact, I think you asked me about being on the show during that call, and I think you called me that night or the next morning. I can't remember. I think it was that night. But, and that's how that happened. But, you know, the thing with the best thing about the podcast, you know, is that, you know, I much like blogging, you know, I would kind of think about all that, you know, my material on the days that I was off. And I would come up with an idea, okay? And now here's the difference. When I had my idea, okay, this is the blog topic or the podcast topic. So if it's the blog, what that means is that I get up, get a pot of coffee going, get a cup of coffee, sit in my chair, and I start quietly typing and look at anything that makes noise that interrupts me. You know, I just look at it like, why are you speaking? Not with Yvonne, but, you know, Brett comes down and wants to ask a question. I'm like looking at him like, you know, giving him the look. You know, I just get, because I'm irritable. You know, that's just who I am. I'm an irritable bastard. Now, but if I've taken my medication, it's usually okay. But the point is, it's all about Tom, and don't disturb Tom, and Tom's working, and I don't want to be unsociable and go upstairs. I'm happy to do so, but I don't think my wife wants that. You know, she's fine if I'm just sitting there being quiet, and she'll be quiet doing her thing. But you see, now, you know, it's a podcast now, and it's not just my podcast. It's Yvonne and my podcast, and we do it. So we collaborate. Rather than me sitting here on my laptop by myself with my wife next to me, well, my wife's still next to me, but we're talking back and forth about what are the talking points, you know, what are the stories, you know. We're working on outlines, you know. We're saying, okay, do you want to tell this story or do you think I should tell it? And then we get up here and then, you know, the music starts and we got the intro and the pyros go off, and it really is exciting because, you know, we're both up here and with the microphones and we got our headphones on, you know, like we're professional, radio kind of people, and it's so exciting. Just being up here and doing that back and forth thing. And it's like, I honestly wish that I had done this a long time ago. And you know, when I think about what I was talking to you earlier about how angry I was, you know, when Yvonne just sort of pushed me into this, you know, it just seems so, gosh, I'm so glad I did keep my cool, you know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I didn't, she could have just boxed it up and sent it all back. You know,
right?
But it's just, I've never been happier in my life. You know, and even, you know, I've quit smoking, and like a month. Yeah, tomorrow will be like a month no smoking. So,
yeah,
I'm pretty
awesome.
Excited about that. And I've lost a lot of weight too, in spite of it. You know, most of the time people gain weight when they quit smoking. But Yvonne, since she knows, but it's funny about that because that's all been Yvonne. Because I mean don't be proud of me for losing weight, because it's nothing I've done. It's my own laziness that is the reason I'm losing weight, because Yvonne she doesn't buy any bread or anything that I mean, there's nothing, like right now, if I'm hungry, the only way to eat is to go down and cook something.
Okay.
That's it. That's
good,
the only
though.
Way to eat.
Yeah,
it is. And it's always stir fry every night. Stir fry, and granted, I love stir fry, but it is. And she makes it every night, or I'll make it. And you know, it's like she doesn't make these giant portions, and so it's like, I mean, I go to bed hungry every night, but it's not. But I'm kind of getting used to. I'm kind of getting used to going to bed hungry, you know. So you know, and
yeah, but you know what they say, when you go to bed hungry, more fat gets eaten up. So.
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
And also in the winter. Oh, Gail says thank you for quitting smoking. You're welcome, Gail. and I'm pretty excited about that. And it's been fun. You know, everything's been just fantastic. But it's weird because, you know, I keep thinking about, like, I'll even still look around and, you know, where's my cigarettes? And, oh, crap, that's right, I don't smoke anymore. And then
yeah.
I just sort of forget about it again.
Great. That's great because, you know, smoking in ADHD land helps that dopamine levels. A lot of people with ADHD, I know I smoked years ago, too. It's all part of, you know, what we do. So quitting is amazing, and losing weight is amazing. You're on the right path. Listen, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So I talk a lot about the creative mindset, the creative process, because this is the gift that I see of people with ADHD. So tell me, the creative process, did you find it exhilarating? Did you find it exhausting? Tell us about this process.
In regard to the book?
Yeah.
Okay. It's... see, here's the thing, though. The book is just a... I don't really know if this is the right answer to your question, but, see, the book's not... I guess perhaps it... there's creativity in it, but it's not, but the creativity is simply just, it's perhaps the way I tell the true account,
yes.
You know, the true tales
yes.
of what I went through. So, you know, honestly, you know, writing a novel, I can see where that would be a real mind bender. You know, what is this character? Who is this? You know, this character, he's doing something. And of course you're 3 months writing this book and maybe you forget that this character's a little bit introverted, but now you've got him doing this, and then maybe a month later you remember, oh yeah, he's introverted, you know, or you sort of got to know your characters a little bit. But you see, the thing is, I grew up with all of my characters. I know all my characters. They're ingrained into my head, and it's not. I really all I had to do was remember and, you know, kind of account for everything, and, you know, sort of tell it in a story fashion, and use some of my own creative metaphors as I wrote the book. But so the process really, I honestly use an outline, and I'd kind of wake up in the mornings and I'd go down. I never wrote downstairs. Okay. But that's one thing that I did different with the book. I needed the book not to read like a big, long, giant blog. And I always write my blog downstairs, in my easy chair. Now the book was different. The book, I made sure I figured a change of scenery, a change in setting might be helpful to that. So I went upstairs and I always wrote my book in my little recliner that I used to have up here. And I had my monitor turned, 90 degrees in the profile, you know, where it's long up and down rather than wide.
Okay.
Then I just flipped this. So everything was, my whole surroundings were different. You know, I even bought a brand new keyboard, wireless keyboard. I mean, I just made sure that I was in book mode. So I could still
okay.
write blogs, I'd be in blog mode. So that's one of the things that I did. But as far as the writing of it, I just used an outline and I kind of would write down the memories that I had, and then I just sort of piece them together. If that, I mean...
Okay, but I think that, you know, okay, let me just put it to you this way. I think you could have sat with me, right, and you could have told me your life story. And I would have listened to all your stories, and then I would have written it. And I guarantee you it would have never been as creative and interesting as what you have done.
Oh, well, no, I get – and that's what I'm saying. But, you know, it's – that's – most of it was just me writing it. And I think the reason – well, when people comment me on my writing, you know, they usually tell me – you know, that I write well because I write the way I speak. You know, it's like, Tom, it's like when I read you, it's like you're telling, it's like I'm hearing you telling me this stuff. So I just kind of tried to keep that in the book as much as I could without it sounding too bloggish for whatever, if you can
okay.
understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't, it's
yeah.
Just kind of a difficult question to answer, I guess, Justine. I'm sorry if I'm doing my best
no.
here.
No. I get it. It's just I think sometimes
yeah.
we negate our creative mindset. Like I remember one time somebody said to me, this was like 10 years ago, you know, you're very creative. And I was like, I am? because, you know, I didn't see myself as an artist. I was a musician years ago, but I stopped playing piano. So what are you talking about? Well, this person was telling me about the way I spoke. Like, I would come out with things that other people may not because of the way my mind works, like my creative mindset. I began then to see that about myself, which I had never seen. Well, I see you as a very creative person in your writing and in the way you talk. When you tell stories, it's like none other. I mean, they're very funny. They're very succinct. You're very intelligent, but you're also very creative because you can paint a story in a way that other people can't. And that's why I was asking about the creative process, because I think a lot of us don't see it in ourselves.
I guess I try to tell it like I would want to hear it. You know, I try to make the stories very dynamic. Like I might want to build up anticipation. You know, I mean, I know people are wanting to know this one thing at this one time, but I kind of hold back on it until I get a bunch of, and I sort of just build it up and then just sort of slam it down with a really funny metaphor or a cuss word. You know, it's like, I don't know. That's when I do that kind of stuff. It's all done, you know, particularly with my blog posts. It's always intentional. You know, it's always, you know, I do try to build anticipation. As a matter of fact, my mom is so crazy. When she buys a book, and I'm not kidding, I bet you there's nobody in the whole world anywhere and never has been that does this. I've never heard of anybody doing this, but she has never done it any other way. When my mom buys a book, I'm not kidding, she goes and she reads the final chapter of the book first. And then she reads the What the
really?
Hell is that? What the shit?
Oh my
is
God,
that?
Wait,
who does that?
That's pretty amazing.
No one does that. But anyway, so when my mom asked me about something, and Yvonne says, "Oh my God, Tom wrote this story, it was so funny," or whatever, which I'm pretty blown away that, wow, Yvonne read it? You know, oh, cool, you know. And they go, "Well, Tom, tell me it." Well, no, Mom. Look, now here's the thing. You know, I wrote it down, and you read a book like every single day of your life, so why don't you just take 5 minutes and just read it yourself? And she goes, "Because you never get to the point." And it's like, Mom, just either read it or don't. Pretend it's a shitty story, Mom. I'm not gonna read to you. I'm not gonna read to you like you're 4 years old. I'm just not. You know. But speaking of that, the other thing, because people. You know, and that's the other thing about podcasts is I'm not saying people with ADHD can't read. I'm certainly not saying that. What I'm saying is they don't read.
No.
Many of them don't. But either,
some of them can't.
What I find is they either do or they don't. I mean, they either love it or they hate it, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I think a lot of people appreciate the pictures in my blog post more than
–
because they don't – maybe and that's fine. And which is another benefit. It's had nothing to do with why I didn't do in the podcast, but it is probably an added benefit. But the other cool thing about the podcast is I've got all the equipment in place that I need to, you know, record my own book as an audio book. And I do, of course, plan to, you know, I haven't really storyboarded it yet. I want to wait till the actual book comes out, and then it'll be a little easier. But I mean, I plan to storyboard the whole thing and. Get friends of mine to perhaps do the voices of the different characters.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if I screw up something or if I get interrupted, I'm just going to leave it. The interruption will just be part of the book, you know.
That's great. That's a great
idea. Yeah, I don't, you know, I mean.
It doesn't have to be perfect and,
No, and I really, you know, and it's funny because most of the comments that I've heard about the podcast have been the little outtakes that are left in there, you know, the bug and the iPod, and, you know, the arguments and that kind of stuff. Yeah. So.
Well, let me ask you something. You know what I think? Growing up, what I always thought was the funniest thing of all was you watch a movie and at the end of the movie they do the outtakes of the movie. That was the thing I enjoyed, and they even do it. You know, nowadays they have it on YouTube or places like that you can. Just go and see outtakes of movies. So, I mean, it's the mistakes that make people laugh the hardest. So,
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Now, okay, I got to get my husband for a minute. Where'd you go, Steve? Okay, Steve, I don't get this question. He just wrote down a question for you, and I'm not understanding. And no, wait, here, you ask him. He's going to ask you the question because I don't understand
okay.
it. This is how we live together, but, you know.
Anyway, it says his creativity was in the change of scene, the change of location, the change of the tools, all that stuff that you did. That was a part of your process, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So my question is, why did you decide to do that? What came into your head to make you think that that was important to do? I mean, I was listening to you talk about it, and I'm thinking, wow, that was brilliant. But what was it that made you realize that?
Well,
that's
because when
okay.
I started writing when I first talked to Val about the book, you know, I was still, I had actually told her that I was going back to writing the book. I said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do the book. And that's when I went on vacation. And she says, now, Tom, let me, is this a book that you've written or is this just a compilation of your blogs? Because there's a very big difference between a book and a blog. And I wouldn't know that because, see, I've only read 6 books.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
In my whole life. And so I just figured if I was in a different scenery, I might think about it a little bit differently. I mean, I'd be constantly asking myself, why am I up here where I'm not nearly as comfortable as I would be downstairs? Why am I up here in this swill hole of just mess and just clothes and box? I mean, just crap everywhere. And I'm not saying that my book was better because I was like, you know, in ADD land, you know, but, you know, versus being downstairs in the den that Yvonne insists be clean at all times. You know, I think that if you're put in a different place, you sort of act differently. You sort of think differently. And I needed to do that for the book.
And let me say something too. When you change your physicality, your physical place of where you are, it can change the whole process, which people have been trying to talk about that for. I talk about that with clients when they tell me, I can't work over here because the place is so messy or so dirty. So either clean your desk or move to another place so that you can get this work done. So what you did was you changed. It's interesting because what she told you was that blog writing is very different than writing a book, which I guess I understand. I never wrote a blog, so I don't know. But I guess I can understand that in reading your blogs and other people's blogs and then reading books. So she told you there was a difference between the two. You changed your physical place in your house, and the process became different, which is very interesting.
Yeah, and it really did work out well.
Yeah.
There was a lot of times I didn't really want to be up here, you know, Yvonne was in. Even after it, like with the edits, it was the same thing. Book, that's up here. Blog, that's down there. And, you know, Yvonne, and bless her heart, you know, and I don't blame her, you know. You know, she was very supportive. Don't get me wrong. She was more than supportive. And she's part of the, you know, she's the reason there's going to be a book. Because if it weren't for her, you know, raising hell about it, because after Val had said, you know, hey, we'd like to do it, I told her I wanted to think about it, and I just ran it by Yvonne, and I said, Yvonne, I just don't want to go through all that editing shit and all that stuff. I just, hell with it. I'm just going to put it out there for free. And she goes, so wait, let me just understand something. So you're going to take all this time, you know, to work on this book and all this time away from your family, and you're going to choose nothing over possibly making some money. And I, and I said,
exactly.
Is that wrong? I mean, is that so wrong? And she goes, hell yes it is. And I said, if they want to publish it and make it a real book, that's a big deal. So you better tell them yes. So I went ahead and just said, fine. You know, I would have just taken the easiest path if it weren't for her. But, you know, it was annoying to her because, you know, it's like, okay, great, we're both off on the same day or whatever. And it's like, well, I got to work on my book. So, I mean, I'd come up here and that would be it. Because I would get into it, and I'm like back in the 7th grade in my head. And it was weird coming down and seeing Yvonne and Brett there, because, man, I'm in the 7th grade. I mean, I was so into it. It was just weird, like, almost like a, like my current life was a movie, and I'm just like a back in it. You know, it's just, it was just really crazy.
Yeah. No, I understand that. Steve's writing a book about when he was at Warner Brothers Music, and he when I came home the other day.
I can't wait till that gets finished.
When he when I came home the other day, he came up to me and he said, "You know, I got to tell you, he had this terrible look on his face. What's the matter?" And he said, "When I have to go back there, sometimes, I mean, there were things about it that were just amazing, but there were other things that were just so difficult. My life at that time, you know, things happened to him during that time that were very difficult." And he said, "It just really brings you back
to
that place."
I mean, and I don't mean that. I mean, it's like you're. It's as if you were physically there. I mean, there was.
Yes.
I can't even tell you how many times I had to stop because I was just sobbing. You know. I mean, it was so it was and to have to go through this stuff over and over, you know, through the edits, you know, I thought I'd about had enough. Honestly, the book to me is it was like the part where my dad died. I mean, I had to shut down the whole works for the day. I was not a chance in hell. I was crying like the day I found out. I'm glad nobody was home to have to hear that, because it was as bad as it ever was. The day it happened, it's like it happened again that day, because I walked through my whole life and I walked through all the great things that my dad did and all the things that...
Wow. Wow.
That, you know, all the great things that he was. So.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing, Tom.
But,
that's,
you know, and
incredible.
It really does, but it really does put you there. And
yeah.
In a very dramatic way.
Yeah.
And it's not something I would want to do again. Not well, thank God that part is finished.
So in terms of the editing process, did the publisher do the editing or you did it?
They did the editing. They would do the editing in that if it was a, which I learned a new word by having them publish my book, systemic. That's a problem that goes all the way through the book. You know,
okay.
So this is a problem everywhere. You use the word that entirely too much, which I did.
Oh, okay.
And I noticed as I took that out, it did read a lot smoother. Okay.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And when I did finish the book, you know, I did read it, and it's like, wow, that's really great without all that in there. But there were a lot of things where she would highlight and say, "You know, Tom, you explained this, but you didn't really explain this. Or why does this matter if this happened?" And that's like, oh, because I forgot this. Or it's because – and sometimes it would be like, okay, well, it's because you didn't read what I said two sentences before then. I mean, it wasn't like every time there was a correction it was something that was wrong. I mean, you know, she reads through the book, and, I mean, not every little thing that she had said got changed, but, I mean, some of it was just questions. So I'd have to go through and just – usually most of it – The biggest problem in the first edit was nothing but a bunch of systemic changes, a bunch of lack of using this word or too much of this word, you know, or whatever. Because, you know,
okay.
I took breaks and don't remember. But
okay.
They kind of – and she did do a lot of editing, too, as well.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, for anybody who's listening that's thinking about writing a book, it's a tedious process. It's not something that can happen overnight. I mean, you know, sure, you can sit for 6 hours and read a book, write a book, but then what? You know, how do you go about getting it published? And I think what you're saying is so incredible because, you know, going back in your life and looking at difficult situations that came up and you writing about those situations, whether it's direct or it's an indirect write about those situations can be a very empowering and at the same time a very difficult memories of things that, oh my God, took us to our knees and we hadn't thought about it. But at the same time, it can also, as I talk about all the time, emotional individuation, it really helps people to get to that better place because you're revisiting these things in an authentic way. When you first experience them, you experience them as a child. Many of us, because of the situations that we felt, stayed there. Now we're revisiting it. And what you did was powerful, to go back, and I know it was painful. I you know, applaud you for doing that and for feeling that pain and for coming out the other side. but it's very difficult to do.
Yeah, and it really was. And, you know, there was just a lot of times that, you know, I'd tell Yvonne I'll be done writing it. No matter what, I'll stop writing at 6 o'clock. But I was just so upset by the time that came that, you know, it wasn't easy for her either. You know, it upset her to see me doing this to myself. And, you know, but she understood why. And, you know, it was funny, though, because the book always became such a pain. But every time, the truth is, every time I had to go back through it, it sort of rekindled and reestablished, you know, why I wrote it in the first place. And it did make a lot more sense to me. But, you know, I mean, I've read it 4 times or been through the whole thing 4 times, which is, I mean, that's just for particularly for me, that's a hell of a lot of reading. I mean, I've read that book, you know, like 4 whole times. I mean, from the beginning of it to I'm Tom Nardone and you're welcome. You know, I mean, you know, the whole thing.
Wow. Is your mom going to read the last chapter first, do you think?
I suspect she probably will. Yeah,
that
I'll bet
is
you
so
she does.
Funny.
I'll bet you she does read the last chapter first. That would not surprise me. Yeah.
You're going to give her a signed copy?
Yeah,
you better.
Of course. I'm sure that when we do the show, when my book comes out, I'm sure she'll be calling in and you can ask her about it. You can ask her. So, what'd you think of that last chapter, Susan? Yeah.
That's
and
the funniest
it's so weird.
Thing.
Oh, or even a TV series, you know. If my mom's like a, you know, Netflix TV series, she'll watch the last episode first.
I have to tell you something very funny. Two ADD people living together, and we've decided, since we're one of the few people in America that never saw 24, we decided, since it's now on Amazon and I have Prime, so it's for free, we're going to watch it. So about 2 months ago, we start watching it, and I go, now look at this. Isn't this great? So this is the first season, and it's how it was actually the last season. And it's how now we're going to go back and we're going to find everything else out. Steve's looking at me like, what? So it turned out that we watched season 9 first, then we watched season 2 and 3, until one of my clients, this young man who's 18, said to me, no, you watched the last season first. I said, no, I didn't. He said, yeah, you did. Do me a favor. Take a look at how young Kiefer Sutherland looks now that you're in the...
But I'll tell you about Amazon. The way they have their thing set up, they're not in order.
No, they're not. And I think that's
I mean, it's like... season 8's at the top, and then it's like 4 and 3, and then 1's way down here. And it's like, you got to...
Yes.
I mean, you got to think that through.
Yes. What happened.
Like, they just did release the Bates Motel season 2 on Netflix, so I am, you know, loving that. So, I watched the last episode of season 1 just to catch myself up. But Yvonne and I, we binged watched 24 as well. I mean,
isn't
as a matter
it great?
Of fact, she got so mad at me because, this was years ago, but even before the blog, but I don't know, at that time there was like, I guess, 6 seasons. And I thought it would be, this is so ridiculous. You would probably force somebody to become your client if you heard they did this. But when I went on vacation, I figured, hey, 7 days of vacation, 6 full days of 24. So I went through it like hour by hour, you know, like I was living that day, and I'd have my windows open so I could like look outside and see, you know, what time of day it was, and I would start each show at the time that show started. So, and Yvonne's like, what are you doing up there? I said, Yvonne, it's almost time for the show to start, and if I get out of sync, I'm going to be all screwed up. I said, now, what do you need me to do? And hurry up, because, you know, ta-tink, 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 it's time to watch the show.
Oh, my God, that's the best. Oh, my God, that's the best. And
anytime she asked me anything, I'd go, ding-dong, ding-dong, you know, like the thing does when the clock ticks.
I love that.
I'd make the sound of the clock ticking, and she'd know, oh, just get the hell out of here, you know. And then, of course, on the last day, you know, I was done. So I'm like, okay, babe, I'm back in the real world. So last day of vacation, what can I do for you?
Oh my God, Tom, that's hysterical. And I have to tell you something, that's such an ADD show because it is so intense that Steve's running around the bedroom because, like, he can't, like, oh my God, I can't take this. How stupid are these people? I'm like, sit down. Stop running around the bedroom.
Yeah, really. Hey, try watching 1 hour and then waiting a week.
That's what I said to him. That would have been horrible. That would have been, I don't think I could have done
it. Crazy. Well, I did that for season 7.
Oh my God, no, I couldn't do that.
Oh, and then Kiefer Sutherland got a DUI or something. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I know. And the funny
thing
was, they
delayed it, and I'm like, what the shit? This is just bullshit here.
You know, I was laughing because in 2009, I was in this hotel called the Bowery Hotel in New York because my nephew was getting married. And I'm at the bar getting a glass of wine, and I look over, and this guy turns around and says, hey, how you doing? I'm like, uh-huh. I'm looking at this guy who's ordering a scotch, and all of a sudden I put it together that this is Kiefer Sutherland, who I read the week before was sober. So I'm thinking, you know, too bad I didn't know about 24, because I could have said to him, hey, Jack. nobody else is.
Shouldn't you be running your ass off through the street heading back to CTU?
I'm sure he's never heard that from anybody else, right?
Yeah,
hey,
I'm sure.
Jack.
Yeah.
No wonder
the guy
was drinking. I'd be drinking, too. Yeah, so it was it's a great show.
Now, I would ask him, hey, would you do me a favor and just ask me some questions and beat the shit out of me until I give you the answers you want?
I know, Stephen, I love that.
I wonder how many
people
have asked
him. Just break his fingers.
Hey, do me a favor, just beat the shit out of me until I tell you who's where the bomb is.
You see how ADD we are? We got off on 24.
Yeah.
I love this. This is the best.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. No, it's a great show. So, yeah, we've got a lot of seasons to go, but we're enjoying it. It's great. It's coming back, by the way, in case you didn't know.
Oh, I didn't know that, but that's good
to know. In 2015.
Yeah, but, you know, I prefer the Netflix series because they do it in ADD fashion. You know, like when if you haven't been watching House of Cards, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Love it. When is it starting again?
Season 3 is coming out. Season 3 is coming out this month. I think I thought I read the 27th. But
is it really? Okay, we're on.
But they released the whole thing in one day. It's just, here you go, the whole season. And you can just binge watch it. Which is
wait a minute.
Which
so
I thought,
Gail,
you know, I thought Yvonne had coined that phrase, binge watch, but apparently I've heard other people on ADD sites say, yeah, we've been binge watching this show, or we've been binge watching that show, which of course means we sit in we lay down on a sofa and, you know, we just sort of let our eyes glaze over, and it's just as soon as one season ends, we just click the button and go next. And I'm not kidding you. Like, if I'm not writing or doing a podcast or something, it is not. And I mean this. I mean, and this is even today now. It is nothing for me to get into a show. And I mean, it is nothing for me to watch maybe 8 or 9, maybe 12 episodes of a TV show in a single day.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Yeah. No. I just went through all the
24s twice last month.
No, I'm not that bad. But listen, Gail's upset. She says, you guys are losing those of us that haven't seen it, or you're giving it away.
Then log off. Then get the... Then log off and go listen to a podcast somewhere else then, because we're talking about 24, sons of bitches.
That's so funny. Oh, my God. She is so funny. That is great. I love it. Yeah, too bad. If you haven't seen it, you're just going to have to watch it. Yeah, tough shit. That's exactly right. No, binge watching. She says Justine can read. What is that? Wait, Gail. She hasn't been feeling well this week. This is why she's off on all different tangents today. I feel bad for her, though. I think she's had the flu.
Oh.
Which isn't good.
Oh, she says, okay, good. I'm still in. She said, love you, Tom, so I'm in good graces. And I got I got the coveted LMAO, so, you know, we're getting in good shape. Don't worry.
Okay, I hope so.
So you can add her back as a listener if you just crossed her off. So she's good.
Well, this is hysterical because this binge watching stuff is really typical ADD. That's what
it
we do.
But I mean, I'll tell you one thing, Yvonne and I have been doing is binge podcasting, and I don't mean listening. I mean There have been 2 days that we've actually recorded 3 shows in a day and nailed nailed them on the first take. So, you know, in iTunes, you want to get, you want to start off with 3 shows, and then you want to hit twice a week for the first 8 weeks while you're in that little honeymoon period, I guess. And so that's one been. So we're trying to release 2 shows a week, and we're definitely ahead of schedule on that. And
wow,
yeah, and of course
that
must
be
anybody
hard to
that
do.
Does. And look, anybody that's listening to the show, the best way, or your show or mine, the best way you can help is to go there and leave reviews and ratings and
yes.
5 stars. 5 stars, please, for me.
Yes.
I prefer 5 stars is what
right.
I need.
No,
if you're not
going to
leave 5 stars, I don't
want
to hear from you.
That's on iTunes. I've had a couple of people that have left.
Yeah,
reviews,
you know, it's a bitch to leave comments on iTunes. I mean, it's not
it
easy
is?
Like it is everywhere else. Oh, it's. I mean, you gotta have iTunes software, you know, or on your iPhone. You have to. I mean, you can't just. It's not like anybody can just go to iTunes and leave a comment. You have to be registered with iTunes or something. It's
I
a
didn't
pain
know
in the
that.
Ass. Yeah, it's a bit of a pain
I didn't
in the
know.
Ass.
Well, then,
oh,
how
yeah.
do they get the podcasts off there? Do they have to be? They have to be a member of iTunes,
right? iTunes is just a repository. I mean, or a repeater. I mean, the people get them from iTunes, but it's like whoever your provider is. Like yours is Blog Talk. It just iTunes is just a channel through which people can access. That you know, you get more viewers through iTunes because they're more. They have you know a bunch of different places have their podcasts coming into iTunes.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, you just send them your RSS feed, and then it just checks through. But,
okay.
You know, but iTunes is the majority of, I mean, it's like an incredible market share they have.
Well, yeah, they really do. I know.
Yeah.
I'd like to have some of that money.
Yeah.
Since I'm putting these all on there for free, which is great. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I want people to be able to listen to them anytime they want. There's some people who are charging money for them, so, you know, like the people who are well-known.
Steve was telling me about
some guy that he found who's a comedian who has an ADD podcast. And how many shows does he have? Oh, it's not ADD, but how many shows does he have? 500? He has over 500 shows. And it's
wow.
Yeah, it's a podcast. It's not ADD. He's a comedian, though. I think this is very interesting, and he's had some really big people on his show, so I'm sure he knows these people. But I wonder how... 500. How long has he been doing this? Wow.
Yeah, you know, the podcasts I listen to are, I mean, I listen to you and Jeff Copper, and I listen to, of course, I love listening to Eric Tiver's show, but I'll tell you a new show that I've been listening to, and this lady is awesome, and I know her personally now. She's ADD.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Her podcast, you should listen to her. Her podcast is called Generosity Philosophy. Now,
okay.
She will most likely, even though we're very good friends, I cannot imagine a circumstance for which it would make sense for me to be on her show. But she interviews or has people on her show who are people that are out there doing things, generally nonprofit organizations, who are just out there doing things for the purpose of being generous. And she's as ADHD as they come, and she is so Kim Trumbo is her name. And
okay.
And you can find her on my friends list if you want to see if she'll do your show. But her show is so great. She interviews these wonderful people who are, you know, I mean, they're these one guys that dress up in yellow and go out in the streets and just, you know, find out what people need. And if they can get it for them, they just give it to them. I mean, it's just all these people that are out there doing great things. But
wow.
Kim does the same thing. She's got a group of people that she goes out with, and they'll go into a gas station, or not a gas station, but some arcade, and they'll just load up all the machines with coins so that when the kids go in there, they've all got a free game or a free prize.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Oh, they do all kinds. I mean, and matter of fact, she has a book that's coming out called George the Generous Giraffe. She just did her Kickstarter thing, which got fully funded, so that's going to happen. And
wow.
I'm real happy about that for her. And it's George the Generous Giraffe, and it's a kid's book to teach kids to be generous. And
nice.
She actually said, and she said that, and she did it, and there's a video of it. I mean, she posted the video, that if she gets her Kickstarter thing fully funded, that she will dress up in a bunny suit and go out to the mall and dance. And she, in the middle of the food court. And she did that.
Oh, I love
put
it.
The video, she is just an incredible human being.
Wow.
And I love listening to her show. She has.
All right, Steve and I will contact her and see if she's interested
in
being on the show.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
I'd love to have her on. Yeah,
and
I really would.
And of course, Eric Tivers. Eric Tivers has been like such a great. His podcast, you know, he did a podcast just a couple days ago.
What's the name of his podcast? Because I didn't have him on. I had Jeff on. Remember the other blogger from Canada?
Okay, you know, ADHD Rewired is Eric
Tivers.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
let's
anyway,
find him
too. He has been so helpful to me in my podcast. And I mean, technically and in every way, you know, that, I mean, there's few human beings on earth like Eric Tivers, and you'll see that. You'll see that if you get a chance to talk to him, and I suspect you probably would.
Yeah.
But man, what a super guy. I'll tell you, you know, that was a podcast he did, and he was debating, you know, whether or not to do it. But, you know, the thing with Eric is that his thing is that he doesn't like being called the app guy. But he likes to be called the solution guy. But he is known for knowing about like different apps for iPhone for more productivity. And but people get this, I guess, get this sense about him that he's Mr. Organized, and because he's got all these apps to do this stuff. So he's got like everything figured out. But you know, the truth is that he's, and I've known this about him, but he's as ADHD as anybody else is. I mean, when he did this one podcast, he just kind of did it. He was driving to some thing he had to speak for, and he just had his portable recorder, and he just starts talking into it. And that's the whole podcast, is him in the car driving to this place, just kind of his own inner monologue is going through the thing. And it was actually a lot of fun to listen to.
Wow.
But it's fun to see, you know, different, you know, shows doing, you know, just different, Yvonne and I got this portable recorder. We're actually going to take our recorder, like, out when we go out to eat. Or like, if I have to go somewhere I don't want to go, we're going to take it. And we're going to just, the outing, that's going to be the show, you know, whatever we talk
about. Oh,
that'd
be great.
Yeah, so we got plans to do that, which means I'll have to leave the house, which I'm not too wild about.
So tell everybody who's listening how they can find your podcast.
Well, you can find it from any one of my sites, but there's a new website. And it's the best way to listen to it is just go to thetomnardoneshow.com and just follow that blog, because every time I post, it automatically generates a post. So the minute it gets posted, you'll be notified. You know, or you can, of course, through iTunes, you can get it. My Facebook, I think, there's a page. The Tom Nardone Show has a Facebook page now, for what that's worth. Of course, TomNardone.net, my blog, is still up and will be up forever as far as I'm concerned. So that'll have a link to it right across the top. And, of course, ADHDpeople.net, which has become my flagship website, I guess, is that'll, of course, have a link to it on there. So pretty much anything I do is going to have some link to the Tom Nardone Show.
And when the book comes out, how are we going to be able to buy your book?
All three web pages will have links to my book. I'll talk about it on my podcast, and I'm sure if you're in a Facebook group, you're probably going to see my little picture of my book come whoring across your news feed, because I'll be sending that out to everybody until I get
kicked
out of groups.
You're going to do a special Facebook page for the book?
Yeah, I thought about probably doing that, but, you know, it's like I got too many Facebook pages as it is. I mean, for just that I'm admin for one page or this page. I guess I probably will. I'm sure I probably
I think it'd
will.
Be a great idea. And don't forget
to
let me know when it's coming so we can schedule another show.
Yeah, I will. As soon as I hear the firm date, we'll get with you, and you can bump whoever's in place of me, and then we can do the show on that day.
And thank you so much for helping me out today. For those of you who are listening, we were supposed to do a show with Deborah Evans, and we were going to talk about dealing with the special needs children, and she got the flu, so was not able to, and Tom was kind enough. I really appreciated Tom to jump right in and to help us out, and I wanted everybody to know about his new podcast and his new book, and I can't believe that we've got 60 seconds left and we've got to go, because
I
do a show with you, Tom.
Really quick.
It goes so fast. It's unbelievable. So
I know.
Give my best to Yvonne, And
yeah, she had the flu too,
you know,
or she would have been on with me.
Oh, I tell her to feel better, and I appreciate you coming on. I really do. And we'll be talking real soon.
Mine. All right.
Thanks,
Sounds
Tom.
Great. All right.
Have a great
Bye.
Day.
You
Bye.
Too.
For those of you who are still on the line listening, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Tom is great. It was a great show. I got a lot out of it. I hope all of you did as well. And we'll be back hopefully next week, if not the week after. Okay. Have a great night. And remember, everyone, please, to stay in the moment.